Went to a dance with my sister Kate. Everybody there thought she danced so great. I realized a thing or two when I got wise to something new. I looked at Katie, man, she was in a trance. And then I knew that it was in her dance. All the boys are going wild over Sister Katie's dancing style. Oh, I wish that I could shimmy like my sister Kate. She shakes it just like jelly on a plate. Mama wanted to know last night. She said, why do all the boys treat Kate so nice? Now all the boys in our neighborhood, they know that she can shimmy and it's understood. Well, I may be late, but I'll be up to date when I can shimmy like my sister Kate. I mean shimmy, yeah, shimmy like my sister Kate. Sister Kate, she shakes it just like jelly on a plate. Mama wanted to know last night, she said, why do all the boys treat Katie so nice? Well, all the boys in our neighborhood, they know she can shimmy, she shimmies real good. And I may be late, but I'll be up to date when I can shimmy like my sister Kate. I mean shimmy, shimmy like my sister Kate.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't have a sister Kate, but I still wish I did. Actually, I wish I had Lauren Sheehan for a sister. Ain't she something? That is Lauren Sheehan, our own almost local. Well, she is. She's in the Coast Range here, the Coast, and she's also in Portland. And I saw her last night at a fabulous Buskers concert, thank you, Paul Duber, in Cannon Beach City Park. And I believe that Lauren Sheehan is the next performer. That would be Thursday evening from 5 to 6:30 in the City Park. And if there's no volleyball going on, you might even get there because the traffic won't be as bad as it was yesterday. Anyway, I hope the sky is shimmering, but I hope you're shimmying because exercise is good and dance is the best. This is Carol, who then, with Arts Live and Local from the studio. And I am delighted to be here with you. It is August 13th. It is Friday the 13th, a lucky day in my family, because we had one of my brothers born on Friday the 13th, and I hope it's a lucky day for you, because we need all the luck we can get. Yes. And by the way, I can't remember the exact date, but let's send a big happy birthday wish out to Michael McCusker, coming up soon. Healing to everybody. The arts is the best way, and so special for you if you need it, Sue and Jan and Wally. I've got a whole list. They're in my heart, and you can add yours in too. Let's get into the arts, because there is a lot of it going on. The second, I can't say annual, I guess. It's the second Peninsula Arts Association Summer Studio Tour is going on right now. You can hear a little verbiage in the background. Those are my guests. I'm not even sure how many there are. I'll name two. This is, of course, on the peninsula. That would be the Long Beach Peninsula in Washington. And the reason it's the second is that last year there wasn't any. So hopefully it will be going on from now on. So, Betty Lou Krause, are you there?
I am, Carol. How are you today?
I am well, thank you. And let me greet our second guest, and then you folks can tell us where you are and what's going on. Joanne Webster, hello.
Hello, I am here.
Okay, very good. We got you both. So Betty Lou Krause has been on this show a number of times for a number of things. She's one of the Oyster Crackers. And she's also a long-term artist and naturalist and lots of titles, founder of galleries, stuff like that. In this case, she's here today because she is an artist and is showing her work, as well as having, I believe, coordinated this summer studio tour. Is that correct, Betty Lou?
That's correct.
Thank you for doing this. Thank you. And Joanne Webster is the president of the Peninsula Arts Association, which is terrific. I'm not sure, Joanne, do you make art as well?
I do. I make all kinds of different art.
Like what?
I make miniatures mostly, and I like dishes and lamps and things that people would put in a dollhouse.
New
drive for book nooks. They're little one-room dioramas.
Yes. I have seen that. Fabulous. I love those. So what do you make them out of?
Paper, beads. I'm just recently learned how to light things with real electricity or batteries. And fabric. I make couches and chairs and all kinds of little things.
So who is your market? Because I know we have several miniaturists here. Some are retired, like Pat Noel Thomas, and then some are still practicing, like Mark Murphy. But they are heavy duties as opposed to dollhouses.
I am not a heavy duty. Yes.
Aha. Uh-huh. Is this
I sell at the PAA shows and at Bold Gallery in Long Beach.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you have you been doing it for a long time?
Yes. I was a art doll maker for many, many years, and I sort of moved to smaller projects.
Mm-hmm. I can relate to that. Good for you. Downsize a little bit without giving up the art.
Exactly.
And Betty Lou, tell us about your art form, and then tell us what this festival is.
Well, I'm a painter. In acrylics is what I've settled on. I really like it because it can be both hard and soft, both watery, or put it on thickly with a knife. So I paint... expressionist nature landscapes. I mean, I'm a tree lover and nature lover and naturalist, and so that's where my art goes, in the trees and in the ocean.
Except that's what it's of, but it goes on to all kinds of things. Paper, canvas, Christmas ornaments, what else?
Well, tiles and T-shirts. I have
silkscreen
T-shirts.
Nice. So both of you are showing your own art at this Peninsula Arts Association summer studio tour. And then what's going on? How many artists are involved? Who are they? And where is this happening? For example, where are you right now? I'm at the studio. Where are you?
I'm at my home.
Aha.
I have a studio. I'm a fortunate person. I have an art studio at my home. So I'm at home. Actually, I'm standing in the yard right now looking at the art that I put outside.
Mm-hmm.
And Joanne is down in Long Beach at the depot with four other artists.
Ah, okay. So, Joanne, who you got there?
We have Deirdre Duell. She's a mosaic artist. She has lots of garden art for sale here. Sue Hettinger, she has fused glass creations, which are just gorgeous. Everything from little dishes to lanterns, it's just wonderful. And Jeanette Hansen is here. She's a watercolor painter,
mm-hmm.
and she is demonstrating here today also.
Oh, nice.
And so those are the people that are here.
Okay, and are you, what is the Long Beach Depot? Is that an outside space, an inside space? What are we talking about?
It's an inside space. It used to be the train station in Long Beach many, many years ago, and now it's a public city building that allows people to rent space here, and it's a lovely little space.
I thought I was there once for the Browns Meat Flats, but I thought it was outside.
Well, there are sometimes, there's a large yard in front.
Okay.
And they sometimes do things outside.
Okay, that must be what I was thinking. I don't think I've been inside. That's going to be fun to check that out. Okay, either one of you, maybe Betty Lou, since you put this together. Actually, Joanne, tell us what the Peninsula Arts Association is and how long it's been around.
It's been around since, I believe, the early 70s. It may be earlier than that. We promote art in the schools and in the community around here. We give supplies to all the schools. And we also have a scholarship program for seniors interested in art. And most years we give out, we had 1 year where we didn't give out a scholarship, but normally the students send in their artwork and we have a committee and we choose both on the art and on their ability to do higher education of some sort, whether it's vocational or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And we usually have 4 shows a year, 2 open studios and 2 shows, actual art shows.
And
so that's what PAA is about.
Okay. And Betty Lou, how did you put this together? Did you just put the word out this year as a go? Because you had to cancel last year, didn't you?
We did cancel last year, both of them. The board has been great on the PAA, and so we've been Zoom board meetings, and we decided to go for it quite some months ago. We have 22 artists who are involved, and about 22 might be a little off. They're in 15 venues.
Oh.
So we're going all the way from Surfside down to Ilwaco with Marie Powell holding up the south end.
Okay. Okay. And can you reel off all the different kinds of art you've got?
I can. We've got farthest north, Don Perry does the wonderful interior and exterior metal art. Charlene Connor, a little hard to pin down. Fine arts to Ocean Beach whimsy, bags, aprons, puzzles, coasters, calendars. At the Surfside Community Center, Coral Hughes and Helen Marston are both there. Coral takes images by local artists and miniaturizes them into jewelry.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Helen Marston does watercolors, mosaics, makes wind chimes, mixed media. The next one south is me, and then Carol Couch is nearby in Ocean Park. There's 3 artists there, and you always want to stop at Carol Couch's because they have the best food.
I can vouch for that, by the way.
So Judy Cox, you probably remember her beautiful iris folded card.
Yes, yes.
And Gloria Martin, I've been seeing some wonderful whimsical paintings of like frogs and other interesting animals online. She's a watercolor and acrylics painter. And then, of course, Carol is in a watercolor painter on the peninsula for quite a few decades, and is also a watercolor instructor. And then there's Bay Avenue Gallery, who represent
everybody.
50 artists, everybody, and especially there's also a pottery studio there. And tomorrow, all day, there's going to be Raku at Bay Avenue Gallery. And it'll get fired tomorrow evening, and people can pick up their Raku pieces on Sunday. So,
wait, you mean audience people will be able to participate?
Yeah, you can go to Bay Avenue Gallery and Raku, buy a piece of greenware in Raku.
And tell people where Bay Avenue Gallery is. Obviously, it's on Bay Avenue, but where is that?
So Bay Avenue is the main street. The main cross street in Ocean Park. So go towards the ocean, and Bay Avenue Gallery is right there on your left as you're headed to the ocean.
Nice. Are any of the... Well, I think you said somebody else was doing a demo also.
Nancy Elwood is doing a demo, and Sue Svensson is doing a wire sculpture demo at Bold.
Okay, but now is Bold a new gallery?
Yes.
Okay, because I never heard of it, and I saw it written, because that's part of the answer to my next question, which is, how do people find you? Where are these maps? And I saw that Bold has maps, but I never heard of Bold.
Bold Gallery is where the old picture attic gallery was.
Oh, okay, okay. Okay.
So in the north part of Long Beach, and they have lots of signage out, easy to find.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's one way, is signage. But, for example, Betty Lou, I happen to know that your house is in the boonies, as I say about my own house. You can't find it unless you know where you're going, unless you're looking for it. Am I right?
Right.
Yeah. So... how do people find you? Where do they find the maps?
The maps are at beachartist.org. You can download one.
Okay.
Or you can stop at any of the studios. If you see a sign, stop at a studio. You can get a map.
Okay.
Or you can pick one up at Bold Gallery, Long Beach Visitors Bureau, Ocean Park Chamber, or Bay Avenue Gallery.
And we know Marie Powell's. Tell us where that is, because people coming from the Oregon side, that might be their first stop.
Right. And Marie has a gallery and a studio, and normally the studio is private and she doesn't allow visitors in there. But for this weekend, she's opened her studio and will show people her amazing press and some of the remarkable things she makes there. She's right on the waterfront in Ilwaco.
Yeah. Which is quite lovely. And are there any other folks in that area showing?
Well, a little bit north, Karen Brownlee, she's over on Sandridge Road and makes her wonderful pottery. And in Steve, painter of oils, and she also does pastels. And Mary Halverson does all sorts of jewelry, copper, brass, stone, sea glass. And they're sharing Catherine's Clark Studio. So that's right on the main highway in Seaview.
So, again, I can speak from experience to say it's tricky to try to go everywhere in one day unless you have a lot more self-discipline than I do. But when you get to one of these places, there's a lot to look at, a lot of art, and there are often other people. Now, I'm presuming that since we're still in pandemic mode, some people might be asking, I don't know, are some of the artists asking people to wear masks when they come into their home?
Yes.
We are, the artists here at the depot, we are all in masks, and we have a sign on the door that encourages people to put masks on, and we have masks for them if they don't have one.
Nice. Good. Okay. as fabulous and healing as is the arts, we're not out of the water yet. And
no, we are not.
We want to keep it safe so that we don't have, so that we only have good memories of seeing
yes.
the arts. So this is, as I mentioned, the second, is that right? Second, well, what do you say? You can't say annual if it didn't happen last year, can you? How do you, what do you do?
It's just the summer studio tour.
Okay, there we go. The Peninsula Arts Association Summer Studio Tour. And again, you can go to Peninsula Arts with an S Association website and also the Facebook page. That's right. And beachartist.org. Or just get over to the Peninsula, stop in, follow signs, pick up a map, and go to some of the more obscure spots like Betty Lou's. And I think the depot is going to be pretty obvious when folks get there. So, okay, well, thank you for doing this. Thanks for making the arts alive and well on the Long Beach Peninsula in August of 2021. Go down in history, all these people who are keeping the arts going. And have a wonderful weekend. Oh, we forgot to mention, this is happening today until 5 o'clock, Saturday from 10 to 5, and Sunday from 10 to 4. Correct?
Correct. That is correct.
Okay, excellent. Thank you so much, Betty Lou Krause and Joanne Webster from the Peninsula Arts Association.
Thank you, Carol.
Okay, take care.
Thank you, Carol. Have a great weekend.
You too. And I have some music for you coming up from something that is happening, starting. It is starting this Sunday night. What a time to start something. Yes, it's a perfect time. The Liberty Theater is hosting the Heritage Trio, and I am thrilled, and I plan to be there practically every night. This is going on from the 15th until the 22nd. Go to libertyastoria.org. Be prepared to wear your mask and enjoy the fabulous music of Sergei Antonov, Ilya Kazantsev, and Misha, I apologize. I'm going to get your last name. His is a simpler last name. That's why I don't have it down. Let's hear a little music from the Hermitage Trio. And again, libertyastoria.org for, and by the way, this is live. You can get tickets online or an hour before the show. It's happening every night from the 15th to the 22nd. It is also going to be live streamed on the Liberty Facebook page, so you can check that out. And thanks to Emma, we have the Hermitage Trio. Thank you. I love those guys. Oh, excuse me. that was my personal opinion, and I think the opinion of everybody who's ever heard them. We started with just Sergei coming for the Astoria Music Festival, playing his cello, and then he brought along his buddy Ilya, whom I had the embarrassing moment to say, oh, and do you play professionally too? And he just gave me one of those sly little smiles that he has. And, oh yeah, and Ilya Kazantsev. And I'm glad to say I can give you Misha Kalin, K-E-Y-L-I-N. And Misha is on violin. And he has come along in the last few years, making it the trio. They also have guests with them. So again, folks, don't miss this. Even if you've never seen them before, check it out. LibertyAstoria.org. Find the one that looks most interesting to you, hopefully at the beginning, towards the beginning of the week. It starts this Sunday. Because if you fall in love with them, as many of us have, you'll want to go back and take it from there. Okay. Well, connecting all of this, I have those three, by the way, are Russian. Real Russian, not Russian. Well, they're Americans now, I suspect. But they were born and learned their trades, at least the two of them I know, in Russia. So we're taking it to the ends of the earth. And speaking of that, I've got my guest, who is actually hopefully not at the end of the earth right now. I think she's quite nearby, but her work certainly is. And that would be MJ Anderson. Are you there, MJ?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Good, good. Okay, well, MJ is a marble sculptor, or a sculptor in marble. Absolutely divine. She focuses on torsos, is what I've mostly seen. I'm going to let her do most of the talking. But before I go there, I want to give you a little bit of the background. This is part of Astoria Art Walk. That's tomorrow. And Imogen Gallery is featuring MJ Anderson and Christos Koutsouras, our Greek painter friend, who is not here right now, I'm afraid. I hope he's safe and fireless on the island of Samos, or wherever he happens to be. I also want to congratulate a big mazel tov to Imogen for their 9th anniversary. Time sure flies. Terry Sun's been doing a fabulous job. Thank you, Terry. For MJ and Christos, it's their second dual show. And they have, I'm going to ask MJ to go into depth, but just from the outside, you can see both of them have brought their art from the Mediterranean to the Pacific. And we're going to find out how that might have been a challenge this year. So there's lots more, but let me let you do the talking, MJ. Welcome and congratulations on the new show.
Thank you, Carol.
So,
I really want to thank Carrie for organizing our show together again this year, even though Christos is not in town. I need to also acknowledge that during COVID, which was it's going to continue. I guess we can't say a past tense anymore.
Yeah.
I was able the first year of our new pandemic to receive funds from the Artist Relief Fund administered by the Oregon Arts Commission, which was in partnership with the Oregon Community Foundation and the James F. and Marion L. Miller Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those entities combined to provide professional artists with $1,000 to continue our careers and not put everything on hold during 2020. So I'm really, this show is indebted to those funds to help things keep moving along.
So let me ask you, in addition to cold hard cash, was it also uplifting to discover that the artists were being supported?
It was. It mm-hmm. really was.
Mm-hmm. That's what yeah. I'm thinking, because in this country, we don't always support our artists. And so I was also very pleased. I wasn't part of the recipient because I'm not a practicing artist, but I was very glad to see the support that went out to artists, seeing them as professionals and hurting from the pandemic. Yeah. So how did it affect your actual working?
Say that not again?
How did the pandemic affect your ability to work?
I work with or without a pandemic. I work with or without a show schedule. I just work no matter what happens. But what it helped with was to, when I stood back and looked at my career, it made me able to invest in getting a better website online, which I needed to do anyway. And so it helped me build my career while I wasn't really in contact with very many people. So that was really helpful. And the business aspects of having being an artist is separate from the actual physicality of creating the art. You still have to maintain a whole kind of a business regimen at the same time, as you might imagine. So it helped with that a great deal.
And your art is extremely physical. Could you please, for those people who don't know you and or your art, could you please tell us about it? I mentioned marble sculptor. So where does the marble come from? What the heck are you doing? I don't remember how big you are, but marble is a very hard substance. And I understand you started as a textile artist. So how did this come about? Why did it come about? And also, sure. If you don't mind, it's up to you, I understand that, I've seen the work. It's absolutely luscious and gorgeous, and so much comes out of it. But also, you have connected this with women as survivors. So if you would talk a little about that, too.
Sure. I have a degree from Portland State in sculpture. I studied sculpture there for 7 years. And when it was time to begin my career, it was the 70s and early 80s, and textiles was all the rage. So I was a textile sculptor, I guess. I was a weaver. I like stuff, you know. I like things in my hand. And I didn't have a lot to say in sculpture per se. I wasn't probably mature enough to really dive into the depths of my soul to create things that were worthy of the materials. And so when that happened to me, when I did get some depth, I was able to transfer from textiles to marble. And I really have a very strong feeling about marble itself. You know, it was once alive. It's the bottom of our seabeds, ancient seabeds, highly compressed and heated and thrust into mountains. And it's, to me, that's just a miracle in itself. And getting to carve something that was once alive for me is thrilling. It's thrilling every day when I get into the studio. I may not want to go to the studio some days, but once I'm in there, I'm almost always just captivated by working with the material that I really love. And then I carved the female figure because, you know, I am female, and when I first started carving, there were not a lot of women in that medium.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of women art historically, and not at the time I was started carving in Carrara, Italy, with all men. And so the world did not need me to carve a genderless voice. I needed to represent my people, my women friends, myself. And so I always knew that it was an opportunity to give a female voice to the medium. And so many women have gone through so much hardship, and at the time I was getting out of I was going through a very bad grieving process.
Mm-hmm.
I lost my husband, and I had a lot of anger because he had been killed. And so it helped me in so many ways. And I still am not interested in making images of what a woman looks like. That's what men do. they'll do a pose of a woman, arms reaching up and fabulous gravity helping out the breasts. But I carve differently. I my imagery is more of what it feels like to be a woman instead of what it looks like to be a woman. And the show at Imogen this year is I have a few tails attached and fins attached to my female body.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can if I want. And,
good for you.
And that's fun too. I mean, everything I do, I have a lot of time to think while I'm carving. And mm-hmm. so everything I do has kind of a metaphor attached to it in my own mind,
mm-hmm.
keeps me occupied as I'm carving.
Nice.
And so, for me, I've done a very large series, actually, of mermaids over the years,
mm-hmm.
Sirens, mermaids.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, because we live at the coast,
mm-hmm.
They're my response to, a tsunami drill.
Wow.
My idea is if the big one comes, I want a big sturdy siren to help rescue me.
I love it. I love it. That's great.
So,
mm-hmm.
So that's one of the reasons why I've attached fins to these figures.
This is going to be it's going to be interesting. Next time I look at those works, I think I'm going to have yet another way of seeing them, apropos of your last comment. One of the pieces I noticed, it's called Epicenter, and then in parentheses, Samos. And
yes.
Tell us what happened.
I've known about the show with Christos, for some time now, and was hoping he'd be here. But thinking about him being stuck in Samos, and then the earthquake came last year around this time. So Samos has a huge refugee problem.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to take care of refugees. The island suffered an enormous earthquake and loss of homes, and then we have the pandemic on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking about that as I was working away on pieces for my show, and I decided to do kind of a tribute to the island of Samos. And so the sculpture is part of my green onyx tablet series, and they're abstract pieces. And I carved an image of Samos with an epicenter of earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of rolling towards the island or overlapping the island.
Yeah.
And I think it's just my reaction to my daily life, my sculpture's reaction to what I'm thinking or what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And that one has a strong focus towards what Christos is having to go through.
Mm-hmm. Well,
Was it Terry who brought the two of you together to do these?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Brilliant. Thank you, Terry. In addition to your ninth, maybe that's why you're still there, because you make magic with artists. And I'm sure that MJ would agree with me. Putting those two together is just brilliant. Christos, many of us again here know his painting. A lot of abstract landscapes, seascapes, and some very large, some small. And we miss him. We send a shout out and best wishes. But we're so glad that you are here, MJ. And I understand you'll actually be at the gallery from 5 to 8 tomorrow so people can meet you and talk to you.
Yes.
Good. Good. Okay.
And Christos's paintings are quite work really well with my work this year.
Especially this season. Wow. Nice. I'm very much looking forward. The show is To the Ends of the Earth, and it opens tomorrow night, or tomorrow day, from noon to 8. MJ will be there from 5 to 8. That's on the corner of 11th and Marine Drive. And the show will be up until September 6th. And if you, whether or not you've seen their work, I know that you will be moved by it. And I love the fact, I remember when I saw MJ Anderson, I had no idea what gender you were. And seeing this heavy-duty marble, large sculptures, I thought, whoa, when I found out. So thank you for stepping in there and for doing what you're doing so gorgeously. And congratulations again on the show.
Thank you.
Okay. And we'll see you. And there'll probably be more shows to come in the future. But right now, head on over there tomorrow night. Tomorrow late afternoon, if you want to meet MJ or any time during the day. It is Second Saturday Art Walk in Astoria, and there are 22 places listed, including Riversea is featuring our beloved Noel Thomas, and all of our galleries and many of our businesses are featuring art. And remember to keep your masks handy. Set a good example. We have a lot of visitors in town. I'm sure you all noticed. Careful driving. And let's set a good example for them as well. Thanks, MJ.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And I've got a piece of music. And then my last guest. And the name of this piece is There the Veil, and you'll see what that has to do with anything coming up. This is KMUN.org, KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook, Arts Live and Local with Carol and with you. Thank you for being here. Thanks, Emma, for the support today. This is Through the Veil with Jamshid Sharifi and Hassan Hakmoun. Music of the Middle East and et al. And my guest has a connection with that. Before I introduce her, I just want to let you know, folks, that on the 21st, which is Saturday, the 21st, next Saturday, the United Way of Clatsop County is having a festival from noon to 8:30 at the Clatsop County Fairgrounds called Shipwrecked. You've been hearing about it. And I have two single tickets, one ticket per person. If you call us right now, 503-325-0010, speak to Emma. Tell her you'd like one ticket. If you want a second ticket, buy it, because the money goes to support United Way. Thanks. And now, my guest, whom I'm very excited because I've never met her in person, but I'm looking forward to it. Deborah Williams is the North Coast, received the North Coast Writer's Residency. That's the Writer in Residence, which is sponsored by the Astoria Visual Arts and Astoria Writers Guild working together. Yes, a delicious collaboration in the arts. More and more is better and better. And Deborah is in the residency right now, but she is going to be giving a public talk at the AVA Gallery, which is on the corner of 10th and Duane. That's that beautiful blue building. Right there in the corner downstairs is the AVA Gallery. And by the way, don't miss their show this month. It's quite wonderful. A couple of Portland artists. But Deborah's writing away, and I'm going to let her tell you who this, first of all, who she is, because, and how she came to apply for a writer's in residence here in Clatsop County, because she really, in one of her many lives, is a professor of literature and creative writing in the NYUAD, and that stands for New York University in Abu Dhabi. What? Okay. And she also teaches in the liberal studies program at NYU in New York, New York City, that would be, of course. So welcome, Deborah. Hi.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. This is so exciting.
Yes.
I've never been on the radio before.
My goodness. We have, folks, so, we have a radio virgin, a KMUN virgin, a double virgin. Well, not anymore. We had her until she spoke. Now she's just one of us. So congratulations.
No, I'm just one of you.
Yeah. Congratulations
so
on
much.
Everything.
Thank you for receiving me so gently.
Yes.
Let's see. So,
how did you connect?
I am here. Yeah. So I've been at New York University Abu Dhabi, which is 12 hours away. So it's a completely flipped time zone. Mm-hmm. This year will be my 10th year there. It's a startup, if you can imagine such a thing, a partnership between New York University and the government of Abu Dhabi. Which is in the United Arab Emirates. Mm-hmm. And when I got there in the summer of 2011, there was a woman working there named Lisa Smith.
Sounds familiar.
Who everybody knows is, is an amazing human being. And she and I became friends. I'm a professor. She was working to keep the ships of state running. And we stayed in touch even after she stopped working in Abu Dhabi and came out here to beautiful Wallapa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked to her a little bit about the projects I've been working on over the years, and she said, there's an amazing residency. You should apply. And I thought, well, I'm a middle-aged woman with a full-time job and two kids, and nobody has ever given me the time to sit with my work for more than 3 hours at a stretch.
Wow.
This is going to be like a fairy tale. And in fact,
it is.
I feel a little bit like I'm in a fairy tale.
Oh, how wonderful.
It's extraordinary. So I owe the Astoria Writers Guild and the Astoria Visual Arts community and Lisa and Buzz such a debt of gratitude. I've just never had an experience like this.
So now, were you already working? See, another virgin experience. Boy, you're just full of them. That's wonderful. Very exciting time in your life. So were you already working on this book, The Corset and the Veil?
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I don't know whether you heard the music I played, which was called Through the Veil. That was special for you, that music from the Middle East. So, I don't know whether you could hear it even.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. So tell us.
I heard a little snippet of it, yes.
Were you working on that?
The Corset and the Veil is the rather, yes, I've been working on this book for quite some time, but see that full-time job, two kids situation, right. Mm-hmm. and a husband in there, too. So I've been sort of working and working and working. It is a book that, in a conversation that maybe Lisa was even a part of years ago, we were talking about, I really believe the topic was like wacky English explorers. You know, there was a, mm-hmm. country was full of sort of intrepid people who just set off. Imperialism and colonialism and all of that part of the package. But Hester Stanhope is the woman I'm writing about, left England in 1809. She was a spinster at the age of 30. She was unmarriageable. She had no dowry. And she went to the continent for sort of a vacation to try to get out of London and never came back. She stayed in Gibraltar. She took a lover who was 12 years younger than she was, mm-hmm. and they traveled around the Mediterranean, the Levant. They ended up in Lebanon, and they spent time in Egypt, and then he went back to England eventually, and she stayed in Lebanon, which is where eventually, many, many years later, she died. So, and she dressed as a man. She dressed as an Arab man for a while in there, too. Let's not forget that.
And why was that? For people who don't
know. Nobody knows about her, which is part of what fascinates me. Mm-hmm. She was this incredibly brave woman, and she's now, everybody has heard of Lawrence of Arabia. Mm-hmm. But she did sort of what Lawrence of Arabia did 100 years earlier as a girl, right? So she was a woman. Another reason that she fascinates me, and I've spent time in the archives reading her letters and so forth, is that she was a woman who wanted to find a way to make, as I understand it, find a way to make a mark. She wanted to do something, you know, capital D, capital F. And didn't want to do it in the confines of making a good marriage. Wanted more than that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And traveling, and this younger lover who bankrolled the operation, enabled that to happen. Right? She was always looking for a way to get involved, to be in politics, to be. She was interested in the military and military operations. Her uncle was the Prime Minister of England, William Pitt the Younger, he was called.
Ah.
And when he died, Hester was left sort of without a protector, mm-hmm. and she wasn't married. So, mm-hmm. so she had that political interest. And when she and her lover, Michael Bruce, they were in Constantinople, and they left in a hurry, and they went on a rickety old boat, and they were shipwrecked. The boat sank, they lost everything. They spent a couple of days basically like on a rock and were rescued. And in the aftermath of that rescue, Hester cut off all her hair and dressed as a Bedouin, mm-hmm. in part for safety.
Mm-hmm.
If she dressed as an Arab woman, she couldn't be traveling with European men.
Right.
If she dressed as a European woman, she couldn't travel freely. So that was...
Sounds good.
It was a sort of... invention is the mother of necessity.
Exactly.
But then again, in my invention, you know, I'm sort of departing from the historical narrative. She loved it. And when you think about what a corset must have been like,
ooh.
In the heat,
oh,
you know, wearing loose cotton robes must have been bliss.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
absolutely.
And having short hair instead of a huge pile of hair on top of her head.
Mm-hmm.
And being
relatively invisible, she could see, mm-hmm. and observe and think through things that she couldn't as a woman because the attention would be on her. So she sounds like a very exciting... So she is a real person, Hester Stanhope,
mm-hmm.
but you've chosen, mm-hmm. and we only... I'm so sorry, we only have like 50 seconds here. I sound like... What's her name? But she... you have chosen to write this as an historical novel rather than a documentary type thing.
Yes.
So
yes,
you've had
exactly.
to fill in the blanks. Is that right?
I have filled in the blanks with her lover. What? Why would a man who's wealthy and young want to hook up, as it were, with this kind of old lady? Why would her? She traveled with a physician. Why would he want to travel with her? She took risks. She wasn't always very nice, but he stuck with her for years.
She sounds.
And what would keep her going?
Way more exciting than a lot of other people, I can imagine. So, okay, folks, now here's the good part. You get to meet Deborah Williams, our writer in residence, and you get to hear her read from her book, The Corset and the Veil, historical novel on the life of Lady Hester Stanhope. And that will be this coming Wednesday from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Astoria Visual Arts Gallery, 1000 Duane, right on the corner of the beautiful blue building I mentioned. I am so sorry, Deborah.
Wonderful.
I've got to let you go. Next program is coming up.
That's okay.
Thank you so much, and
thank
congratulations on all your loss of virginity today.
Thank you so much.
And thank you, folks, for listening. Bye-bye. KMUN. And we're going right into the next program is coming up. Right as soon as I figure out how to make it. But this is KMUN.